if I could have your attention, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. Dorothy and Fritz are hopefully on their way. She called this morning and said that things looked better down this way than they were up there. And so unless things were bad enough up there that they didn't ever get out, they'll be here eventually. So we're going to go ahead and start. And I'd like to begin with introductions. I'm Barbara Walker, chairman of the board. And we'll go to my left.
Bob Burns.
Maya Sams.
Bella Rester over here.
Jan Ludwig over here.
Pearl Van Zandt, director.
Carlos Servan, deputy director for VR services.
Jim Yurok, state president of ACB.
Who's behind you? Mike? Oh, I am Mike Floyd, past president of the NBA.
Peg
Hollerson,
Blaine Cavalier,
Shirley
Peterson,
Fatosh Floyd,
Connie Daly,
Robert Newman,
and up front.
Joe Janet, just a nosy blind person.
You're who we're here for. That's our favorite.
Glad someone came.
No title.
Is that everyone?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now we have two sets of minutes, one from the November 3rd, 2000 meeting, and one from January 2nd, 2001, an emergency meeting. Now, every time we come to these, we say that hopefully by the next time we'll be able to have them on the website, and so far we don't. Do you want them to be read? Do you want to approve them as they were sent? What is your pleasure?
I would think since they haven't been published that we should have them read. Unfortunately, they take some time, but under the circumstances, this emergency meeting, I wasn't even aware of an emergency meeting. I don't know.
You were there.
An emergency meeting?
In January, the conference phone call?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello. Yeah.
I thought that was something.
That's when we voted to throw you out, though.
That's why he wasn't there.
That's when my phone went out.
Don't conspiracies now. Let me tell
you. Okay, the November 3rd minutes, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired public meeting, Friday, November 3, 2000, 6:30 p.m., Lincoln, Nebraska. Call to order and introductions. The Board of Commissioners meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired was called to order by Chairman Barbara Walker. Board members introduce themselves: Dorothy Weston Yockey, Robert Burns, Barbara Walker, William Arrester, and Maya Sams. Walker reported an omission to the agenda was the period for public comment, but there will be time set aside for the public to make their comments. Walker requested everyone in attendance to introduce themselves. Dr. Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director, Jan Ludwig, Staff Assistant, Carlos Servan, Deputy Director of Vocational Rehabilitation, Bob Deaton, Deputy Director of Independent Living, Jim Jurok.
Close enough.
Jurok? I'm sorry. David Hunt, BEP vendor, Terry Harris, Business Enterprise Administrator, Don Ward, Business Enterprise Rehabilitation Counselor, Nancy Kaufman, Technology Program Specialist, Fritz Yockey, Fatosh Floyd, Director of the Orientation Center for the Blind, and Mike Floyd. Van Zandt did announce there are cookies, popcorn, and coffee at the east end of the room. Accounting will not approve expenses for refreshments for meetings, so if you're interested in contributing, leave it in the basket on the counter. Minutes of the September 22, 2000 meeting. Walker read the minutes, hoping by the next meeting we would be able to make the minutes available through technology and not have to spend the time reading them. Weston Yockey moved the minutes be approved. Arrester seconded the motion, and the motion was passed. Business Enterprise Program Overview. Terry Harris, the Business Enterprise Administrator of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, presented the focus for this meeting. The Business Enterprise Program, BEP, is organized around the Randolph-Shepard Law, which first became law in 1936 and was amended in its current form in 1974. The Randolph-Shepard Law affords blind persons priority in vending facilities on federal property. The federal agency that administers this program is the Department of Education, and it is the Secretary of Education that is responsible for the regulatory oversight, technical development, evaluations, and designation of state licensing agencies, SLA. The state licensing agency is the state vocational agency for the blind, which in Nebraska is the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. The SLA has the responsibility to train and license qualified facility managers, must oversee all sites, inspect for health standards, be within contract agreements, audit for accurate reports, maintain machines, and do reporting to the Rehabilitation Services Administration. The Blind Vendors Committee, which is required by the Randolph-Shepard Law, is wanting to make some changes in the rules and regulations, so we anticipate some updating in the near future. The Government Service Administration, GSA, has been patient with us in getting the Commission for the Blind running, as this process will require some public forums. Nebraska currently has 21 licensed blind vendors, which we refer to as facility managers, plus three new folks in the program who are not yet licensed vendors, which makes a total of 24 manager entrepreneurial persons in the business enterprises. The 24 vendors are managing facilities consisting of 65 vending contracts or permits. The sites are located across a 400-mile stretch over the state of Nebraska, i.e. along I-80, rest areas, state colleges, nursing homes, state and federal office facilities, state and federal courts, a small facility at Offutt Air Force Base, and post offices. Facility managers send 12% of net proceeds back to the SLA as set aside, and this money is matched with federal dollars and is used to contribute to the vendor's retirement program, purchase new machines, and make repair on existing machines. The ownership of this equipment remains with the SLA. We are currently working with the Blind Vendors Committee to establish a policy manual and training program for the business enterprise. This is a blind vendor's employment program and is not a rehabilitation program, and its new name will be the Nebraska Business Enterprises, NBE. We are currently exploring the possibility to make use of the Missouri Business Enterprise Training Program. Missouri has a full-time training staff compared to our staff of two. GSA is pushing for quality of service nationwide. We are hoping this training will assist our facility managers to professionalize their business. We are planning to have information available for the December 8, 2000 vendors meeting regarding establishment of a training program. Missouri's curriculum includes 17 weeks working in a classroom setting on vending machines, computer, talking cash registers, and a section on bookkeeping. It also includes on-the-job training in a cafeteria located in the Capitol building. When they complete the program, the individual is licensed by the National Restaurant Association. Following Harris's report, there were several questions and concerns raised by the Board of Commissioners. The board expressed concern regarding no braille on the machines in vending areas they have visited and questioned what kind of images that's sending. Walker stated, "I think I am most interested in what the actual function of this program is with respect to the blind community as a whole and our relationship to the public." She continued saying, "If this program is established to get a foot in the door with the public and expand opportunities for the blind, I like the idea of incorporating training in blindness skills." Walker went on to say, "These businesses are blind ambassadors. There was a general consensus of the commissioners that there be braille on the machines. It was recommended each site make use of braille in their marketing and other blindness-related alternatives." Ward confirmed that he will begin this process and also informed the commissioners that some of the machines available for purchase do come with braille on them already. The Board of Commissioners did request that Harris make the information he just presented available to Ludwig, and she, in turn, will email it to the Board of Commissioners. It was also reported that the average income of Nebraska vendors is $16,800 per year, and the national average is $32,000. Harris will send the yearly income information on each location to Van Zandt, and she will forward this to the Board of Commissioners. Business Enterprise Program Proposal. Dave Hunt. Hunt presented a resolution he has been instrumental in developing. The Blind Vendors Committee supports this endeavor as well. This resolution was also approved for support by the state NFB chapter at their recent October 2000 convention. This proposal is requesting a change in the Nebraska tax code. The change would return the vendor's sales tax collected to the commission. The vendor's portion could then work as a match, which would enable the commission to capture federal money to allow increased business opportunities in the Nebraska business enterprises for the blind, rather than having to go to the state for appropriations. To establish a new vending site, it runs around $50,000. Senator Priester is showing some interest, some indication that he might sponsor this resolution, and Hunt will be meeting with him on the 15th of November. The Board of Commissioners are in support of this effort and interested in seeing how it goes. The Blind Vendors Committee are encouraged by Van Zandt to keep the Board of Commissioners informed of their progress. Orester offered to testify or whatever might be necessary to help with this process. Report
you want a separate, from a different reader? You want me to take a turn?
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. If you do, I do have them here.
Okay. Report from the executive director. Van Zandt gave staff updates since the last meeting. Denise Johnston Rodericus was hired as transition counselor in the North Platte district, so we have a rehabilitation counselor position open in the North Platte office. A decision has not been finalized on the rehabilitation counselor position in the Lincoln office. Omaha's position is in the works. The Newsline report revealed progress is being made with the Lincoln Journal-Star as they are updating their library and photo archive system, which will make it more workable. We should be seeing results by the end of November. Amy Burrish is the Newsline outreach person, and she checks daily and also puts updated information on the channels. There was some discussion regarding whether Baltimore knows if they do not get a feed. Individuals were encouraged to monitor problems of publications, relay their findings to Burrish, and she will make the report to Baltimore. Burrish reported recently there are 1,100 subscribers, so the progress has really been great. Fatosh Floyd attended a national meeting of directors of orientation centers. There were 8 states attending the meeting: Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, Virginia, Hawaii, Minnesota, Arizona, and North Carolina. They are proposing to have a Midwest regional meeting this next fall or late summer. Floyd and Van Zandt would like to sponsor this regional meeting. Expenses would be paid by the people sending participants. Burns gave an agreeable response to the idea. Van Zandt promised to keep the commissioners updated. The vocational rehabilitation VR and the independent living IL statistics were given for fiscal year 2000, and these reports are available print and braille upon request from NCBVI. In the past couple of months, we have received $150,000 in Social Security reimbursements, which has kept us going in this time of budget delays. Floyd reported 66% who attend the center do become gainfully employed. Floyd also reported we have a student whose insurance company approved a 9-week training period in the center. A list of attorneys was given as a potential pool for impartial hearing officers, and they are as follows: Richard A. Birch, North Platte; Gary G. Berger, Lincoln; John P. Glynn, Jr., Lincoln; R. Kent Radke, Lincoln; and Dennis C. Techmeyer, Lincoln. We are required to have a pool of attorneys, and after reviewing the resumes presented, Burns moved and Sam seconded to approve the group presented. The vote was unanimous. Servon will draft a letter to each attorney letting them know NCBVI has approved to make available their names if services become necessary. NCBVI is participating in working toward putting together information in order to build a Kearney State office building. Van Zandt reported that Dave Robinson keeps leave records that are accumulated on a yearly basis, and he would prefer giving information on Van Zandt's leave status on calendar quarters. After the budget request is in on November 9th, Van Zandt requested, oh, that was supposed to be the end of a sentence. Van Zandt requested leave during the week of November 13th, with the exception of a couple of meetings that are already scheduled that she will participate in, and then also take November 27th as vacation days. She will also be available if there becomes a need due to budget issues. Orester moved and Sam seconded that the quarterly reports on leave and out-of-state travel be at calendar quarters. The vote was taken and the motion passed unanimously. Following this meeting, Walker will sign the leave forms approving Van Zandt's leave requested for November. Report from the chairman. A letter to Mike McCrory, Director of Department of Personnel, was written and read by Walker and will accompany the comprehensive personnel questionnaires. Consensus of the letter was favorable, and this will accompany the CPQs when they go to personnel. Van Zandt added that she feels Ludwig's position and the HR assistant position, which is a rather low level pay grade, should be looked at also, but should these be included in the package? Burns and Orester spoke favorably in getting them in along with the rest of them. The Board of Commissioners suggested to go ahead and get the other two to develop a CPQ and send along with the rest of them. Van Zandt is going to review this with Deaton and Servan to decide just how this should be handled. Walker asked for assistance in writing the letter regarding accessibility issues with the budget. Van Zandt did get the budget people to make the budget available in Excel. Excel is accessible, but no one on the board has Excel. As long as our voice is being heard for the future, and especially in the writing of the Nebraska Information System, NIS software, we can get along. After much discussion, Burns agreed to put together a letter to the governor and chief information officer from the Board of Commissioners. Upon completing, he will email it to Walker, Van Zandt, and Ludwig so it can be printed on commission stationery. Old business materials update. Walker encouraged the Board of Commissioners to complete their bios so they will be ready to be included on the commission webpage when it goes up. Budget update. The budget we completed is now locked. No one can make any changes without official requests to have it unlocked. And we have until the 15th, so hopefully we might find whatever errors there might be by that date. We do have until November 9th for the budget deficit requests. There is no federal budget to date, but we are looking for a 3% increase, as that is what has been usual. If that is true this year, we would expect to receive $3,019,695. The match required for us to get that full amount would be $684,108. The current appropriation of general funds is $465,773. The grant received that require no match are the transition grant in the amount of $275,000 and supported employment of $30,000. Basic support, which is the majority of our funding, is 78.7% federal and 21.3% non-federal. There are specific requirements in order to meet that match. It has to be real money or a statewide cost allocation plan or a third-party cooperative agreement, which are formal agreements with other public entities. Funds available this year to date total $618,133. This includes the appropriation of $465,773, $50,000 Helen Keller National Center for Deaf-Blind Youth and Adults, $44,500 is the estimated BEP set-aside cash fund, $38,000 from UNMC, the Low Vision Clinic, and $10,000 is awarded from the statewide cost allocation. The NFBN Newsline project amount of $5,800 has been received, as well as the interest from the Catherine D. Robinson Trust Fund of $4,060. So the basic support match still needed is $30,722. The grants that are 90% federal and require a 10% match are the $225,000 for the Older Blind Project, $57,955 for in-service training, and $34,329 for Title VII Part B Independent Living Services. This translates into $317,284 federal and $35,254 non-federal, which can be actual dollars or in-kind match, i.e. the work volunteers do. The funds are available to date pending documentation of in-kind match toward the sub-grant that we are getting from Older Blind and Independent Living is $21,278. To date, we have in the in hand from Panhandle Independent Living Services, $17,022, which is the match the funds provided to them. There will be others, that is VIPS, NFBN, ACBN of Omaha, and Helping Hands, that are consumer-driven entities, and we are proposing that we will ask each of these folks to basically document the 10% of our 90%. Those that have been contracted seem to be willing to work with us to document time or whatever it might be to help us come up with some more match. We feel our efforts will give a positive message to the unicameral, showing our hard work toward getting our match in such a short time. Work continues as Bob Deaton is in touch with Radio Talking Book to see if we can get some funds through that group. Servan and Mosier are working on a third-party cooperative agreement with the Department of Education. The Omaha Association of the Blind does provide funds on a fairly regular basis to Radio Talking Book. We are working on a proposal for them to route those funds through the commission, and we would pass the money on to RTV. By doing that, those dollars would increase federal monies coming into the state of Nebraska. There are other pieces to put together, and we will see how this works out. NIS accessibility update. This agenda item was covered within the report from the chairman. Comprehensive position questionnaire update. The Board of Commissioners agreed this agenda item has been covered also. Public comment. Chairman Walker offered for the public to make comment at this time, but there being none, she moved to onto the next agenda item. Website update. A report on the web page was given by Van Zandt. She had talked to Kelly Coleman and Jonathan Ross and presented a printout of the web page, which for right now is a draft web page and is in the office of the state webmaster. Coleman would like suggestions from the Board of Commissioners as to links you might like to have, including commissioner bios, draft minutes. Consumer groups should be listed, both national and state, and Van Zandt will check with the feds as to whether RSA should be included as a link. Since we have a cooperative agreement with NCEC-BVI, it was felt we may want to include them as well. Friends of the Commission update. The three attorneys agreed that completing the articles of incorporation is the easy part to draft. Effectiveness of a foundation may be to target industries, that is, people in high-tech industry, to make available a program of lifelong learning and training for the people in Nebraska, and raising money for support and training. A question was raised as to whether the incorporating officers would be the Board of Commissioners. Following discussion, there was general agreement that the officers of the foundation would be the Board of Commissioners. There will be a public notice fee and a filing fee with the state, and Van Zandt will check with Brown to see if funds from the Robinson Trust Fund could be used for upfront costs to complete this. Sam's moved, pending legal approval, of using funds from the trust for setup costs of incorporating, that we proceed with the necessary paperwork to complete the articles of incorporation. Burns seconded the motion, and the motion passed unanimously. New business, executive director evaluation. The Board of Commissioners did receive the information regarding the procedure and process to complete an evaluation on the director of the commission. Chairman Walker explained the need to either choose an example given or come up with our own. At the time of Van Zandt's reappointment, there were five general areas of expectation or points spelling the word blind, expressing what we look for in an executive director. Discussion followed regarding the evaluation due date to the governor's office of November 13th, the type of form and what criteria needs to be included in that form. Orester moved and Burns seconded. We use the five goals set forth in the letter of reappointment through the use of the word blind as the five duties on the evaluation form, and the evaluation period will be from July 1 through June 30. The motion passed unanimously. Digital news information. Stacy and Craig Groff. Illness precluded the Groff's attendance. Walker read an informational letter from them regarding a nonprofit to raise funds for Newsline. No action necessary at this time. Visually impaired peer support fundraiser. Van Zandt read the information from the South Central Peer Support Group regarding the bumper sticker and t-shirt contest they are sponsoring through January 31, 2001. They are looking to NCBVI staff and board members for creative ideas and encouraging involvement of everyone. Ray Johnson is the contact person for this fundraiser. Please submit entries to Johnson. Part of their contest objective is to acquaint people all across the state, including those who are experiencing vision loss, with the service and training available. Public information is foremost at this point in time. Location, date, and time of next meeting. Our next meeting will be in Omaha, February 24th, 2001, 9 o'clock a.m. Transition will be the focus, with Carlos Servan and Karen Mosier presenting. Adjourn. There being no other business, the meeting was adjourned at 11:50 p.m. Respectfully submitted, Jan Ludwig, Barbara Walker. So there you have it.
I have a question. Why is this taking you so long to get these minutes out? Why can't we get these minutes out? You know, we spent between 35 and 40 minutes this morning reading these, which we could spend on other business. Have any idea what our problem is with getting the minutes out?
Well, I can tell you what one of our problems was this time. I was one of our problems. We didn't. I didn't get them back to Jan, but we're solving that problem. We've given ourselves a time frame. I have also sent some suggestions, and one of them is that if someone brings us a report and if it's in writing, that we attach that and not have that be part of the minutes proper. And there are things, also the main things that we need to have in the minutes are actions we've taken and, you know, decisions that we've made that are going to impact in the future. And so I think we need to really work at making these shorter, because there really are things that we don't absolutely need to have. But when I brought that up last meeting, nobody said anything, so I thought, well, maybe people don't want us to really do that.
No,
so if you would give me a...
If we report that a certain report was given by a person, you know, regarding the status,
mm-hmm.
All of the content of the report, I don't think needs to be in there, whether there's a report attached or not. And as you said, the actions that were taken, and as we move down the, I guess, the agenda items.
Okay, so that is so that's a consensus now, and that's what we're going
to
do.
That sounds good to me.
And I've also talked to Jan about setting aside the days immediately after a meeting to really work on the minutes, and pledge to her that I and the others that go to her for things will leave her alone, so she can get those things, get that done, and to Barbara pretty much within the first couple of days, and then we can go from there. That will help, I think.
And if we can get them on the website with draft in a major, very noticeable place, we can also make them available that way to people. And then if we have corrections, we can do those at the meeting.
We could also do something. I don't know. I know at our office we have it. It may just be a legal-related thing, but where draft is in a very light print on the whole document.
Now, how would that that mess up the speech reading?
Yeah, because
I don't know.
And that would mess up the people that have some vision.
Yeah,
it
that's
does.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, you know, it could say at the very beginning, this is a draft, and
mm-hmm. at the end.
At the very end.
Yeah.
Sure.
So. Okay, so we have those things decided. Are there any...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have a point of information, not really a correction. It was reported that 1,100 subscribers to Newsline were, you know, signed up. Since then, we learned that there was some problem with the database that was being entered into, and that I'm thinking the number is more like 600. Does anybody know for sure? I should have asked before yesterday, but I know that it's not 1,100, and maybe closer to 600. It's still pretty good for the length of time we've been in place.
So I just thought I'd let you know that.
Okay, are there any...
Madam Chairman, this is Dorothy.
Yes. Welcome, Dorothy.
I was only about 10 minutes late. I got in before you started reading. I don't know if this should be under the old business or new business, but I want to make a comment. I really respect Pearl for taking vacation time to go to the funeral of Connie's mother. But I don't think she should take vacation time. I think that's part of her job, as respect for her employees. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that.
I think, however, we feel we need to do that after we get done with the minutes,
okay,
the corrections or additions or any of that kind of thing.
Okay.
Another idea just for the minutes would be on every page on like a footer to put draft.
That's a good idea.
In there.
Then if people are only reading sections, they're a little more likely to get it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Good idea.
Okay, if there are no other comments or additions or corrections or that kind of thing, we'll go to the minutes of the January 2nd emergency meeting.
May I ask a question on emergency meetings? Do those minutes, are they read, are they public, or is that, are you just...
Yes, they are.
Okay.
It's a meeting.
Okay. I didn't know how
so,
that
So, yeah. Okay, so the minutes of the January 2 meeting, minutes of the emergency meeting of the commissioners of the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, January 2, 2001. Members in attendance... Barbara Walker, Chairman, Robert Burns, Bill Arrester, Maya Sams, Dorothy Weston-Yaki.
I was there. I
yes,
was there.
You were.
It's not in there,
Bill. It sure is. The purpose of the meeting was, one, to determine any salary changes for the director of the commission, Dr. Pearl Van Zandt, and two, to discuss the implementation of policies for the commission separate and apart from those used by the Department of Health and Human Services. The commissioners unanimously voted to increase Dr. Pearl Van Zandt's salary by 5%. The commissioners unanimously voted to request and review the proposed policies prior to the next meeting of the commissioners. The information, no, that's it. So, anything on those minutes?
Well, did we get the policy to review?
No,
I
we
haven't
didn't.
Seen them.
No, I believe we had an email, but those were not ready yet.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that a little later.
Okay. That time you really didn't get him, Bill.
That's right. I had a December hangover, I guess.
Okay. Any other comments, corrections, or anything?
I move acceptance of the minutes.
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the minutes be approved. Is there discussion? By the way, those were... submitted by Maya, our executive session and emergency meeting secretary, or whatever long title she's going to get.
The title is longer than a minute.
Yeah.
Second.
Anything else?
I have.
Okay. All in favor? Oh, you had a question?
Yeah, I have a question about that thing. What is our How is the Board of Commissioners liable for like any kind of a lawsuit for former employees or et cetera?
Again, we'll need to deal with that
is it different?
Out of the context of dealing with the minutes.
Okay.
Two questions. You mentioned the letter to Mr. McCrory.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever get a response from him on that?
Yes,
I never saw one. I thought we did, but
that,
I never
yes,
saw
that,
I report on that.
Yeah, you would have gotten that. Okay, any other things from the minutes? All in favor of approval?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Did we have a motion to approve the first minutes, right? I think we did them both at the same time. Okay. Thank you.
At least that was my understanding of what we just did.
That is what just happened.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm finished with mine now.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the transition program overview. And if it is okay consensus-wise, I mean, I emailed everyone, but I didn't hear anything. But we have so many things we need to do that it seems like it would make more sense to postpone that item to the next meeting. Does anybody have any problem with that?
Not me. I think that's fine.
I might mention that Carlos Servan is here today, and if there are specific questions, maybe at toward the end of the meeting, he has told me he'd be glad to answer or speak briefly about the program, if you wish, later.
I'm looking for a consensus. Do you want to postpone to the next meeting?
Well, I would say we could just see how the meeting goes. If it's getting absurdly long at the end, we could just push it to the next, just pass it to the back and then of the meeting, and then at the end, if it's getting late, we can just push it to the next meeting.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is, you know, in a little while you won't be having to hear from me as much. But the next item is the report from the chairman. I wanted to mention concerning Newsline that Ryan Ozentoski is now the outreach coordinator. He was working on transitioning from sending a disc to Baltimore to put up announcements to doing it in a PDF format. And in the process of all of that, it didn't happen at all this time. And I apologize for the fact that this meeting did not make it to Channel 2. We intend to have that fixed by next time. I'm hoping maybe the Rehab Council meeting will end up being up at least a few days before the meeting happens. Ryan has been in touch with Mr. Chrisman at the National Center, and hopefully by Monday something noticeable will happen. The reason that Ryan isn't here today is because he is working on that, the part of it that he needs to do this very day. Otherwise, he would have been here. As a follow-up to the putting Braille on vending machines, I did one of the most fun things I've done since becoming a commissioner, and that was to go through with Dave Hunt and look at the machines inside and out in one of his locations. One of the things that we need to be is realistic. And I won't go on and on about this subject, but there are some of the machines that have buttons that are round and not flat inside. And so to try to put Braille on that would be a difficult thing. We talked about putting Braille to the side of things, and in some machines that works, and in some of them it really doesn't. Now, there could be a generic thing put there, like chips, and if there's a whole row of different kinds of chips, you would at least know that much. Some people would think that was okay, and some people would probably get upset that they couldn't figure out exactly which kind they were getting or whatever. There are also little, tiny price tags that slip into little tiny slots, and those also would be difficult to Braille on the actual machine. We talked about placement of Braille somewhere else. Reality in the world is that if you put it on a table or something like that and it's not, you know, glued down or something, people will walk off with it. There is a rule in some of the stands that you can't put things on the walls, so that lets that out. Dave himself has some of his information on top of the machines. Of course, he's a rather tall person, and so that's not a problem for him, although, you know, others who are shorter may do that and use a step stool. So, you know, that's one way, but the customers, for the most part, wouldn't be doing that. So, you know, while that may work for the manager, it's probably not the ideal solution for consumers. the coffee and pop machines are pretty, you know, those you really can pretty much do the Braille on. One of the things that happens for marketing purposes is that from time to time things will be switched around, or sometimes if a provider only has certain items and not other items, if you want to fill your machine and make money, you'll substitute. And so that's another thing that happens. And then there are also these interesting sandwich machines that have 14 trays on each carousel. And when you try to figure out what is going to happen, you've already lost your money, because you put your money in and this little door opens and there may or may not be anything in there. So that one is kind of a problem for anybody, if people are just kind of mindlessly, you know, putting their money in and doing that. But so that one is kind of a tough one to deal with too. Dave said that there is some progress being made on talking things for machines. And those may be out at some point. They're, I think, $400 per machine at this point. And so that may or may not be a possibility, even if it is available. There are other kinds of machines that have different kinds of slots or areas where the stuff comes out. Snack machines, for instance, could possibly be done generically, again, but not item by item. So, you know, while we still will be suggesting that people put Braille on whatever it can be put on and encouraging that kind of thing to happen, we need to be realistic that some of these machines, especially the older ones, are not really workable for that. I think that's the main thing. We tried to think about creative ways of doing some of these things, but that's kind of how it is. And you know, Dave has Braille in one place in his vending operation. He has a Braille list between two of the doors. Some of the machines have an outer door and then they have an insulated door. And he has put Braille in between there, and that keeps people from walking off with it too, because you know, other people don't have a key to that thing. I was dumb enough at one point that I asked him how he knew, you know, what was there or what wasn't or whatever, and of course he just got out his keys and opened the machine. So, there are times when I really surprise even me in how stupid I can be.
Well, Barbara, my thought on that is, I mean, all of us that are blind mark things different ways, and that it sounded like the vendors were caught off guard that they never even considered this Braille issue, and that I think in the future it ought to be something they ought to think about and come up with ways of marking it. Certainly some machines can't be done, but if it's something that they think about and one person comes up with an idea to how to mark a machine, then he passes the information to other vendors, and if it's something that's on the radar screen, that some machines will be marked, and anything is better than nothing. And then in the future, I don't think, you know, spending a lot of money for talking machines is probably in a business sense, because how many percent of the people that they serve are blind, and are they going to recoup that money? But on the other hand, it's like the ATM machines, that if it's designed right to begin with accessibility in mind, it doesn't have to be necessarily more expensive. It just has to be something that's considered, and then that'd be kind of a lobbying the vending machine manufacturers, which is just a ongoing process, and that's probably something that vendors from the entire country could just address their concerns up the ladder to the vending vending machine manufacturers, and if it's got